Am I bitter and jealous? No.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
Please welcome to the program, Phil Johnson. He's getting more email than I am lately, and I'm fine with it, Phil. Really, I'm just fine. Are you ready for me to read your email, sir?
Yeah, the thing is, it's angry email, so I don't know why you'd be jealous of that, but okay. It's a little break from what we've done in some recent episodes. I would actually rather hear people criticize me than have to criticize somebody whose excerpts you play. So let's have it.
Mangling scripture, I think, is what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Man, that was some bad stuff, man. If you'd like to send an email to Phil, pleasant, nasty, whatever, it's between you and your conscience and the Lord, send it to idea@wretched.org. Phil, this is from Anonymous.
Oh, I get a lot from him.
I recently heard Phil Johnson say that he didn't like the idea of women leading worship. And I agree. I was a bit surprised, though, at Shepherd's Conference when the Gettys were leading worship and Kristen Getty, as the vocalist, was the prominent leader. Was Phil, like I, uncomfortable, especially when she transitioned from singing to leading us in prayer?
Yeah, honestly, I don't remember that she led us in prayer. She's up there with her husband. I would say he's the one leading. He's playing the piano. She's singing. So, yeah, it never occurred to me that was a problem.
So this person who sent this in wasn't being snarky or snippy.
No.
What would you say to this person who is like, it felt like, I would have to assume, playing the role of an elder to some degree? How would you respond to this person who was very, very pleasant?
I would just say, I honestly don't remember her leading in prayer. I actually prefer in a mixed audience like that for men to be the ones to lead in prayer. I think, you know, that's the biblical example. But so, you know, if that happened, yeah, I kind of agree. That's not something I would do, but I don't remember.
Do you think, Phil, that the reason you don't recall is because you had taken a temporary trip to the third heaven? Is that possible? I'm just asking.
Probably not. No, actually.
Probably not.
I wasn't in every single session. I had some other duties during the Shepherd's Conference. The Gettys actually did the music for the plenary session where I spoke. And I thought it was quite good, actually. I love them. I love their music. And so, yeah. But it wouldn't make me look the other way if she took charge and decided to, lead the congregation. I just don't see that as what they're doing. There's a woman and her husband. He's leading. He's leading in the sense that he's the one playing the piano. And yeah, I think it's possible to get a little too picky. I've had people, complain that sometimes when Johnny Erickson Tata is giving her testimony that she lapses into preaching because she quotes scripture and all. I'm glad she quotes scripture. And I think if Johnny herself saw that as a teaching role, if she aspired to anything other than what she does, she wouldn't do it. Yeah, she wouldn't do it. She doesn't believe women should be in the role of elders as well.
Johnny Erickson Tata, she doesn't present herself, you know, typically as a theologian, any sort of spokesperson on theological issues, but she's rock solid sound. I have never heard anything wonky from her.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, when Scripture says women should be silent in church, it certainly doesn't mean that they should never sing or never utter a peep of sound. That's not the point. And if you take everything Scripture says about women in church, it's bottom line is women are not to take the leadership role. Spiritual leadership in a corporate context like that is the exclusive domain of men. That's God wants the church to be led by men, and that's a general truism. My commitment to that truth wouldn't necessarily make me stand up and protest every time a woman utters a prayer in a group context or sings a solo.
All right, so let me just see if I can decipher what you just said you're okay with Paula White. Am I correct?
No, and you know
Joyce
that.
Meyer.
You know that, but yeah, there are people who actually go to that extreme and say that, you know, if you don't utterly silence the women, that which means they can't sing, they can't pray, they can't do anything in a corporate context, then you're opening the door for Paula White and Joyce Meyer. I don't share those scruples.
All right.
So
letter number two from Bob. Have you asked Phil Johnson if he's considered writing a real Philzosophy book? A hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned. My adult son eagerly searched for the book when he first heard it mentioned. He was so disappointed to realize it was a book of nonsense from Phil Dunphy, not pearls of wisdom from Phil Johnson. So what, you got that one in the hopper?
Nope. No, I have no aspirations to write a book of my own. I've been involved in Christian publishing for nearly 50 years now. And
you're talking I'm about. I'm sure you meant to say, I have no desire to write any other book than the booklet about the deity of Jesus that you said you were going to have done for me after the Shepherd's Conference.
That's a booklet. I will write magazine articles, booklets, stuff like that. But I have enough book deadlines editing other people's books. I don't need more deadlines. So your book, I do intend to finish, but I didn't mean as soon as the Shepherd's Conference is over, I'll be done with it.
I believe you said, I will get it done when the Shepherd's Conference is over. Shepherd's Conference is over. I'm a literalist. So where is it?
I will get it done.
When?
I don't know. You know, I have to leave for Ukraine in a couple of days. So
you know, that, Phil, is just, that is, you know, using ministry to not give a hard deadline. I think I might have to talk to some elders at Grace Community Church. That's all I'm going to say about this issue right now.
I will do this for you. I'll put it on my iPad and do some work on it on the plane on the way over there.
How far into it are you?
Yeah, well, I've got the whole thing is there. I just need to edit it carefully. I need to look up all the references, and it's very time-consuming. And the problem for me is that I do have a string of deadlines, and I've got two overdue deadlines that I'm juggling at the same time. So I would feel bad setting aside something that's already overdue for yours, which really doesn't have a hard deadline yet.
It does, too.
Oh, does it?
This thing is going to be out for Christmas, Phil. See, get it? Christmas, born in a manger, deity of Jesus, hypostatic union, Jesus is God. See what we did there?
I'll get it for you by June 1st. How's that?
All righty. That's what I've been waiting for on record.
If you have it by June 1st, you should be able to get it by Christmas.
I will be absolutely thrilled. June 1st. Tony, Joey, rather, who are you? You might want to write that one down. We'll send it to you in a text, Phil. Letter number, whatever we're on.
I'll get it notarized.
I was wondering, what do we do as Christian fathers in regard to the draft? There's been talk that in fact, did it pass that women can be inscripted into military service?
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Conscripted? No, I think it's both, Joey. Or if my daughter or wife, for instance, was drafted, do I have an obligation to say to the government, no, thank you? Or do I say what you are doing is wrong, but I must submit to the government? What's a dad to do, Phil?
You know, I think that's going to be tested by court cases and so on. If I had a daughter who was draft age and they cranked up the draft and really started drafting women to send them into combat, I would claim a conscientious objector status for a daughter on that.
On what basis?
Because it goes against my spiritual commitments, my religious beliefs, to send a woman into combat. I don't know. That would have to be, I'm sure, litigated by some court. They probably would overrule it. And at that point, I don't know. I'm glad I don't face that problem. And I have great sympathy for.
But you've got grandchildren.
Yeah.
So let's just say that scenario does happen. Just let's noodle through this a little bit. What's a dad? What's a grandpa to do? Let's say you say conscientious objection. They say overruled. She's got to go to war. What would you do at that point?
You know, what they would probably do, though, if you and they do this even for men, if you file as a conscientious objector and they conclude that because of whatever religion you're affiliated with, you're not a legitimate, you don't meet all the criteria as a conscientious objector, they'll often put you in a non-combat situation, give you a desk job or whatever. So hopefully that would happen. I don't know. I mean, it raises a string of what ifs that are going to be very, very difficult to face. Yes. But my short answer is yes, I would use every means available, every legal means available to me to resist that. But in the end, I think if the government conscripted your daughter or granddaughter, you'd have to submit to that probably because, I don't know, maybe I ought to think longer about that. But my answer for the time being is, yes, I would use every legal means available to me to resist that.
I'll tell you what. I will give you to July 1st to figure it out because I don't want you thinking about it until June 1st. Fair enough?
I might need 2 months to think about it. Can we make it August 1st for this one?
Well, I think the challenge with this is you have to build the case from more implicit verses than explicit verses about women going to war.
Right. But there are examples even in Scripture, Deborah, for example, of women who do participate in battle. I'm not sure I could justify saying that, you know, I have to obey God rather than men, so I can't. I don't know. I need to think about it.
Well, couldn't we say Deborah in the book of Judges is a demonstration of that's not the way that God wants it because none of the men were willing to fight, and she is actually a shame on the men.
Right. No question about it. That's a dysfunctional society. We live in a dysfunctional society, though, and so I don't know. It's sheer folly, though, to put women on the front line of a combat situation where they're going to be facing.
So let me see if I can just distill this down and discern what you're saying. You're saying that now you're opposed to Joyce Meyer and Paula White. Is that correct?
I've said that for a long time. Not merely because they're women, by the way. I think the even more important issue with those two is that they are false teachers.
Yeah, they're bad teachers. Dear Todd, this is from Robin. By the way, that was from Sean. It's a great question, Sean. And I think that I hope we don't have to deal with that issue, but we will see. You mentioned perhaps wearing things that would make you look more like the people you are wanting to reach may help. I have to strongly disagree. Phil, this was in the context of clothing for pastors, attire. And I think one of us made the statement that a pastor, I think, should look pastoral, but in the context, it should be appropriate for the context.
Yeah.
You shouldn't put on a tuxedo if you're in Montana. Well, frankly, I don't think a pastor should ever put on a tuxedo, but the point is you dress appropriate. So it could be cowboy boots in Oklahoma, but you still look like you are a pastor, dignified in a role. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd make an issue of it. I don't remember the comment that this question is referring to, but if I left the impression that I think it's important for a pastor to contextualize himself by dressing like the people he's ministering to, I might have said I don't think that's a bad idea, but I don't think it's necessarily a biblical principle. I'll wear my cowboy boots in New York City.
I'm not being legalist. I'm talking about just a principle to look appropriate. You're the pastor located in a particular location. I think you should dress pastorally in other words, I wouldn't put on a suit and tie. If I took a call to Boingo Boingo and they wore grass skirts, well, I'd have to figure out a way to wear a pastoral grass skirt of some sort to look pastoral, appropriate, and not like I'm not a part of the culture.
Yeah, right. You know, like in the Philippines, a suit and tie doesn't look as dressy in that culture as those shirts that they wear, that, you know, the white shirts that
the Nehru collars.
Yeah, whatever they're called. I forget the name of those shirts. But I mean, if I were in the Philippines, I would probably wear that style of shirt. But I wouldn't go so far as to say, OK, then if you're ministering to a group of a motorcycle club, you need to get tattoos and
no, I didn't. But we didn't say that though. Right. I agree with you.
But that may be what this questioner is responding to, because you do have people who say that you have to so contextualize that if you're ministering to guys with neck tattoos, it's better for you to get a neck tattoo as well. I wouldn't go that far. My rule of thumb is not to let what I wear in the pulpit be a distraction deliberately to people. I'm up there to show off or to impress people with my outfit or to look stunning in a way where they say, wow, look what an expensive suit or whatever. I just want to, in the first place, fit in a way that doesn't necessarily wear the badges of the seamy side of the culture I'm ministering to, but doesn't stand out as ostentatious or immodest or in any way drawing attention to me rather than to the message. It's a subjective rule.
Yeah, agreed. Because after all, we do want to become all things to all people. So right. That's why I got this tat, dude, because I want to just win some for Jesus. Bill, do you mind if we take a few minute break? Because I'm sorry, I cannot erase the image for some reason that popped into mind. You and I pastoring on Boingo Boingo in grass skirts. So I'll just read the next question and you talk for a while I pull myself together. Phil... Right, I'm leaving the name off. I'll just leave it because.
That's another celebrity writing to me, huh?
Letter he writes, would you attend a wedding where you knew beforehand that the officiating pastor was a woman? Would you go to that wedding, Phil Johnson?
Maybe. A lot depends on other questions. Is this a non-Christian couple who has a woman clergy person officiating? That would necessarily keep me away. Is it a secular ceremony that some woman is officiating? I don't have a problem with that either. If it becomes a religious event that I'm expected to participate in, I would have much more difficulty. If I'm not just someone standing there observing the wedding and supporting this couple whom I love, who may not even be believers, then yes, I'd go. But if it was a Christian couple who said, come to our church that's pastored by, a Paula White lookalike, and we want you to participate, lead the opening prayer, I would decline. I don't know that I would boycott the whole wedding, but yeah, it would be a problem for me to see that. Fortunately, I don't think I have any friends who would, or relatives who would fall into that category.
Let me read a list of different scenarios, because this is one that people face regularly. And it is hard. There's all kinds of considerations, and you don't want to become pragmatic about it. And we don't want to be unequally yoking. We don't want to give the impression that we're in agreement with doctrine. So, maybe we ultimately call this a gray area, an adiaphora that we just, there can be different people with different takes on it. But Phil, I'm going to get your take. Would you attend, not read, not do any, would you attend a Roman Catholic wedding?
Yes. However, there's a complexity there in that Roman Catholicism sees marriage as a sacrament. And so they're probably going to serve communion, serve the Eucharist. I would not participate in that. Same thing.
But you would go to the church.
Yeah, same thing.
And to someone who would say, hey, somebody sees you walking into a Catholic church and they go, isn't that Phil Johnson? I guess he's okay with Rome.
Well,
is that valid?
If it's a wedding or a funeral, it seems like a different thing. Although, I have a good friend in pastoral ministry. I should say, I've only ever been to a Roman Catholic Mass one time, and it was a funeral Mass for my next-door neighbor who died as a Roman Catholic. And I have a pastor friend who, when I told him I went to that funeral, he was offended and disappointed with me. And even though I didn't participate in the Eucharist, I didn't do any of the kneeling and standing and sort of idolatrous bits that are done. I was just there to support this man's wife and who subsequently, by the way, became a Christian. So,
oh,
yeah. So, I don't regret doing that, but It does. It does raise a bit of a problem. I don't have any friends, even this pastor who, a pastor friend who was slightly disappointed with me and maybe somewhat offended that I went. He wasn't the least bit confused about where I stand when it comes to Roman Catholic doctrine. So,
It seems like we're talking about issues of conscience here. I know how I feel about it, but that's always the trick about issues of conscience.
Right. Well,
I
honestly,
think my feeling look is at what, codified, and that's law.
Right. And look at what Paul says about meat offered to idols in 1 Corinthians. He ultimately says, look, it doesn't harm you to eat meat that was offered to idols. You're free to do it under Christian liberty. But then he gives some restrictions saying, look, if people are going to be confused or offended by it, then maybe it's better to abstain. It's owing to whatever the situation is. And it seems to me that eating meat that was sacrificed on an idolatrous altar actually would pose more of a question to me than attending a funeral or a wedding for a Roman Catholic friend. So, yeah.
I remember I was at a Roman Catholic Mass once, Phil, and we were touring, you know, just walked in the back, and the homily was taking place. And I kid you not, the priest said, and so I asked myself, God, what have you done for me lately? Wow. I know what I've been doing. It was like, boing, what?
Yeah.
All right, would you read a Bible verse or say a prayer at a Roman Catholic wedding?
No. No, because...
Because that's participating in the ceremony.
You're participating in a religious ceremony there. I would have a problem with
but
that.
But you would be tempted, wouldn't you, if you could pray and preach a sermon at the same time?
Right. And the reason I paused is if I went to, say, a secular funeral, somebody, you know, who's having their ceremony in a funeral home and is being done by a Catholic priest, just the ceremony, and it's not actually an official Roman Catholic worship service, if they ask me to pray, yeah, I would use the opportunity to work the gospel into the prayer to make sure that this person's grieving relatives hear the gospel.
So it's like what a lot of people do at church. Lord, we're just so grateful that we have fellowship, and I'm so glad Julie showed up after such a long absence from us. I'm just so grateful and hoping she's reading her Bible daily that, well, we're just grateful to be here. Bless the potluck. That's the old sermon prayer.
You talking
about me? Because that didn't feel like a prayer. All right, a Mormon ceremony. Would you attend that?
I don't actually know what would be involved in a Mormon marriage ceremony, but I
don't know that you could be allowed in. Just work with me, okay?
Yeah, I don't think I would be. I don't think I would be allowed.
I don't think
you would
either.
Suppose a Mormon couple from my neighborhood invited me to their wedding in a park. I would go.
All right. Inside Jehovah's Witness, would you go inside their Kingdom Hall?
Same thing. There's nothing that's going to defile you by setting foot in their building, but if the wedding itself is a religious ceremony, I would not want to participate. But if I had Jehovah's Witnesses who were friends or relatives and asked me to come to their wedding in a neutral setting, I would.
All right. What if, Phil, you were asked to attend that Jehovah's Witness ceremony wearing a grass skirt?
I would let you go in my place.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?